97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, massive contracts and other items of note in professional sports, basketball in particular. Our guest, Lenny Rosenbluth, National College Player of the Year in 1957, and the man who led the Tar Heels to their first NCAA men's basketball championship. So Lenny, after your time at Carolina, you signed with the Philadelphia Warriors, who are now the Golden State Warriors. The average salary for an NBA player in 57 was $6,000.
That's what it was. The NBA could not fill up a gym back then. They had massive doubleheaders. Let's say we were playing the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden. The first game might be Washington versus the Boston Celtics. The second game, the Warriors versus the Knicks. And even then, I don't know if they filled up the garden. It's just not what it is today. Today is a completely different ball game. And you can tell from what the NBA teams are worth. I think back then you can buy an NBA club probably in a $200,000. Today it's $1 billion or more. It's just everything has gone through the roof.
Sure, we look at a $6,000 salary on average. I think the NBA average now is something like 6.5. Steph Curry just signed $40 million per year for 5 years, $200 million contract. That's hard to even wrap your head around that.
Harden just signed for $228 million.
That'll kick in a couple of years, yeah.
So if you break it down, it's roughly fast figuring, something like $500,000 for the 80 games that they play. So he's making probably in a neighborhood of $1,200 a game, which is it's a lot of money. When I was drafted, number six in the NBA, and we got a telegram that congratulations, you've been drafted by the Philadelphia Warriors, and I signed a contract for $7,500 with a $2,500 bonus. That was big, with a two-year contract. When the season was over, you had to find a part-time job because the time they took out the little bit of taxes back then, you still weren't making a lot of money.
So most of the guys had to have off-season jobs.
Yeah, everybody had off-season jobs. If you can find one for the 5 months before you started practicing again in September.
So I want to give these numbers some context. Let's go back to 57, when the average salary you made with the signing bonus, you made 10. The average salary in the NBA was 6. The average salary for average American was 55. So not enormously different. Now, the average salary for a blue-collar worker in the U.S. is a little less than $50,000 per year. Steph Curry is going to make $40 million per year. So the gap between the average guy and professional ball players has grown exponentially.
Yeah, if you look at the draft schedule, the top player in the draft is roughly a little over $5 million guaranteed the first year, $5 million plus the second year, then the third year it jumps up even more. Down at the bottom, if you're the last draft pick in the NBA, guaranteed contract, a little over $1 million for the first 2 years. You can see why it's almost impossible if a kid who is in college or wherever he is to not go and jump to the NBA because the salaries are just outrageous. I mean, where else can you supposedly go to college for 1 year and come out being a multimillionaire?
So, Lenny, you mentioned supposedly go to college, and I think that's part of the problem that people see is that kids are in school for maybe one semester if they're a one and done. you don't even really have to enroll for classes in the second semester because you've already, you know, you're going to be drafted. Is that a farce? Is that system a farce?
It's a sham, and the universities can stop it very easily. Go back to the freshman rule. When I came into college, you could not play varsity ball the first year. You had to play freshman basketball. And if you do that, then the one and done is over with, because they would have to stay 2 years. You know, so, I mean, you can stop it. Like you say, they go to school the first semester. The second semester, they get up late. They don't have to go to class, and they're still eligible to play. But the schools want them because they make so much money. The gyms are packed. The alumni loves it. They have a great winning season, and they don't seem to care that it's one and done. And a lot of people say, well, the NBA should stop it. Well, it's not the NBA; it's the Players Association that controls what age to go to the NBA, and they want it because the draft each year gets higher, and if that gets higher, their salaries get higher. So they love it.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. Our guest today is Lenny Rosenbluth. Lenny, we've been talking about the enormous salaries in the NBA. And again, just to put some context on it, the $200 million, I know Harden's going to make even more when his contract extension kicks in. But let's stay with the 200 because it's a nice round number. The average guy, average person making $50,000 a year would have to work for 4,000 years to earn $200 million. Are these guys worth that kind of money?
No. But they make the NBA makes so much money between the TV money coming in and the sale of jerseys and everything else. It's just a tremendous amount of money coming in. And the way, if I'm not mistaken, the players' union has it structured where they get a percentage of the money that each club makes. So the salaries will keep going up and up and up. And it's not the club that is paying it. It's basically the TV revenue and the sneaker revenue and everything else. And Curry's $200 million contract is just the tip of the iceberg. Now he has the other things that come in, the sneaker money, his own jerseys and his brand, whatever it might be, TV commercials. So he's probably at the $300 million range.
I think it's kind of ironic that you played for the Philadelphia Warriors, which were the precursor to the Golden State Warriors, which is the team Steph Curry plays for now. Could you have imagined 60 years ago that money of this magnitude would be being paid to athletes?
No, not at all. Back then, we had professional basketball, had a coach, period. There was no assistant coach. There wasn't even a trainer. We had to tape our own ankles. Money was so tight. I remember Eddie Gottlieb was the owner of the Philadelphia Warriors, and we had a team meeting, believe it or not, a team meeting that you fellas are taking towels home. Please don't do that. I mean, this is...
You're going to break the club. You know.
So if you have a team meeting, worried about towels, and today it's... the money is mind-boggling. And again, if you're a college kid, you can imagine yourself... Hey, they want me to play basketball. I'll play for 1 year. I'm out, and I'm going to be a millionaire. But the problem is also the parents. The parents say, you've been offered a scholarship. Go, and you'll play 1 year. But very few people make the NBA. If you take a look at the summer leagues now, you have all these, I mean, good college athletes who have left school early, and their chances of making the NBA roster is very slim. It's very hard because each team has 12 players. I believe they're going up to 15 or maybe 17 this year with the new G League schedule. But it's very hard to be one of the players. And then the NBA has to get around all the money, and what they do is they make their own players, they put them on the draft list. McAdoo was an example of that. He played 3 years with the Warriors. He has 2 championship rings. Right now, he doesn't have a job because they tried to get his salary for the team, so they might pick him up, but right now, he has no job.
All right, so let me look at this from the perspective of an owner. I don't think as an owner of a club, I'm going to pay Steph Curry $40 million a year unless I think his presence on the team is going to help me earn $50 million a year. Do we get to a point that there is a roof on the money that can be made by the teams in order to be able to pay these players these huge salaries?
Well, you would think so, but again, they keep going up every year, and you toss around millions like it was pennies. The Knicks offered a marginal player $51 million contract for 3 or 4 years. I mean, this is serious money for the average American who actually don't even go to the games. The games are too expensive to go to. They watch it on TV. It's all TV money that's coming in to all these teams that make this possible. It's not the average attendance that they can pay these salaries.
So, Lenny, if it's all mostly TV-driven, you have all of these college teams, not only basketball and football, but lacrosse and soccer and all these others that are available to fans on the various networks, SEC Network, Big Ten Network, ACC Network coming up. If you can see your favorite team play all these different sports, is that going to cut into, you think, the pro leagues?
No, because today you have where you can go ahead and tape anything you want at night and watch it the next day. So if you're watching the NBA game, which to me lasts forever when you watch it, it just keeps on going on and on. But you can tape it and watch it the next day. And then if another channel is just saying that you have lacrosse playing, which they have it on TV, you can go ahead and tape that and watch it whenever you want to. But if you watch some of these NBA games, that there are actually hundreds and hundreds of people standing outside the arena watching the game on a big screen TV that can't even get into the arena. And the Warriors, if I'm not mistaken, it came out last year, in the final of the Warrior game, a seat on the court was selling for over $17,000, and someone was buying the tickets.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. Our guest is Lenny Rosenbluth, 1957 National Player of the Year, talking about professional sports, particularly basketball. So, Lenny, attendance at the games is not for that $50,000 a year plumber. It's for people who also make a whole lot of money.
Yeah, you have to be well-heeled to go to the game. Now, if you can get a seat with your back way up in the upper deck where you see ants running up and down the court, you might be able to get a seat there for $50 or $60 for the game. But the big spenders are the box seats and the people down on the bottom where they can, you know, actually watch the game. And it is big dollars, but a lot of corporations buy the seats to give out to their customers and the big moguls who come in, and it's a big thing, and they write it off too. So it's it just keeps on going up and up. The ticket prices will go up. They're all sold out. If I'm not mistaken, the 76ers, who had a terrible team last year, they're sold out for next year. I believe the Lakers, who has had a very bad season last year, they're sold out this coming season. So, I mean, they're selling out. And the jerseys, if you go to the NBA store, they're selling like crazy. The fans just love their sports, and they walk around with their favorite player on their jersey, and they feel like they're part of the NBA season, but they're really not. They're just fans watching a game on TV and yelling and screaming at the TV set.
So, Lenny, I've heard a noted researcher talk about that and calling it basking in reflected glory. You're not on the court, but you are, quote, part of the team because you go to the games, you wear the jersey. How much is it you're living vicariously, if you will, through those players on the court?
Sure, sure. On TV now, and it'll be in the Olympics, they have a three-on-three basketball that people are actually paying to go watch. And that you can go to the park and watch three-on-three basketball. But now they got all the older players coming back and playing three-on-three, and it's going to be part of the Olympics. So, people love their basketball. They love their teams. And as long as they keep doing it, the salaries are going up. I use this example a lot. In the 1950s, the baseball contracts were the same as basketball, very, very low. They had a TV show called Home Run Derby. And you would have two hitters, how many home runs they can hit. The winner got $500. The loser got $100. On one of the shows, they had Mickey Mantle versus Mays. Now, today, if to get a player like Mickey Mantle and Mays to appear on TV, you're going to pay them millions of dollars. Back then, the winner got $500. The loser got $100. Now, that's impossible. I mean, you can't do it. But this is how much sports has changed in America. Look at the contract of the networks, what they have to pay just for the NCAA tournaments.
The rights fees, yeah.
Tremendous amounts of money, billions.
So, Lenny, how much has all of this, the corporatization of sports, these enormous contracts, et cetera, fans wanting to identify with these players, when they have no prayer of making anywhere close to as much money as the players make, how much has that changed the game itself?
Oh, the game has changed tremendously. These players are super athletes. My God, they come in, they train, they're in tremendous shape. You know, you have to hold on to your job because you have some kid coming in at 19 years old that made a name for himself in college, and he's going to take away your job. So these marginal players in the NBA who are making the $1, $2, and $3 million a year, they have to train very hard to show what they can do and try to show their worth to the club. Otherwise, they are going to be let go and try to hang on to another club. So, I mean, it's a cutthroat business.
One thing that's definitely changed, and I know that you're a big fan of using the backboard. I think a lot of fans would find that boring these days. It's not the monster dunk. It's not the shot from half court. It's fundamental basketball. Have we gotten away from that because of all of this?
Not in college. The NBA game has completely changed. The big man in the NBA used to be, and when you get Wilt Chamberlain and Shaq, Jabbar, these were the big scorers in the NBA. The ball always went inside. Now it's not. It's a three-point shot. The three-point shot has revolutionized the NBA because the Warriors with Stephen Curry and has changed the game because every team now has to have three-point shooters. In college ball, the big man is still essential. Coach Williams, he plays inside out. They try to get the ball inside to the big men and who can throw it out if they get double team. But the NBA is all three-point shooting now, and all the big man does is to screen and roll to the basket. And if he's lucky, he gets a pass back where he can possibly score. But the NBA players and the coaches, they'll give up 2 points so they can get the ball back to make a three-point shot. Everybody's trying to catch up with the Warriors and their three-point shooting. And then you got LeBron James, who himself controls a whole team. And he might be, I think next year might be his last year with Cleveland, and he's going to be going somewhere. And his salary will jump up, I don't know how much, maybe $500 million if they can afford it.
So we might see the day before too long that we have the $50 million a year player, and it might well be a three-point shooter. That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Lenny Rosenbluth. Thanks also to producer Carol Bono And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.